Before we get started with tonight's episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, a couple things for you. Go check out draft.com, draft in your app store. Fun, fun, and great way to play fantasy sports on the daily aspect. And now, best balls for the season long. They just introduced NBA best balls. They have NFL playoff best balls that has begun. They'll have baseball as well. But on the daily front, you have PGA, you have NHL, you have NBA, NFL, MLB. It is so, so much fun. It's a great, great app. And if you're new to it, use promo code SD, D as in dog, SD Sports at checkout, and you get a free $3 entry into any tournament of your choice. It can be best ball. It can be the snake style drafts. It can be the auction drafts, whatever you want. It is an absolute blast. Draft.com, draft in your app store, promo code SD Sports for a free $3 entry. Also, if you give us a rating and review on iTunes, we'd much, much appreciate it. It would help the podcast out quite a bit. With that being said, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2019 Sony Open.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2019 Sony Open in Honolulu, Hawaii. In order to do so, I'll be joined by my co-host, as always. You can check him out on Twitter, at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, man. Glad to be here again. Starting to get in the groove now for some PGA Tour action. We got a cut this week. Excited about that. How are you doing?
I am doing pretty, pretty good. It's nice to – it was fun to have good golf. There was the ending was great, reminded you kind of what it was, but this is what it's all about. This is cut time. This is – I know it sounds cliche, but it's kind of where you separate the men from the boys in the DFS world. A lot of guys had fun last week, and it is, and hey, we're not going to make the six of sixes every week, but this is why you listen to shows like this and some other ones to try to get that little bit of an edge that's out there for free on your lineups. With all that being said, before we get to the Sony Open, Jesse, again, I said the sentry went off. X-Man gets it done, going 11 under on Sunday. Had some amazing shots into 18 and other holes to get eagles. Finishes 23 under par, one shot better than Gary Woodland. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he was impressive on Sunday. Tied the course record, had a putt there on the 18th hole for eagle to beat the course record. And of course, you know, missed it, but still made birdie there, and that was good enough to get him the win. 11 under par any day of the week is a hell of a score. I know the wind's laid down a little bit on Sunday there, so it helped as far as the scoring conditions went. It did get a little bit better, but it was impressive, man. It was impressive. Like Xander, I can never get right. I did play him a little bit last week, so it salvaged a little bit, but. You know, with the no cut event, I mean, basically, I went from like almost in the back third of every GPP I was in with all three of my lineups. And then once Xander took the lead, I mean, I was up in the money. And that's just the swings you can have there. And that's why it's so volatile. And, you know, that's why I hate him. But either way, it was impressive. It was an impressive win for Xander.
Yeah, it's funny how you mentioned the quick swings. The free sports DJ in Slack chat that we like to use, it's actually been pretty active to start out the year here. Usually it's kind of slowly gets into the groove, and there's a lot of newcomers, and that's why we say come join. It's free. We'll just kind of shoot the shit and talk about it, and you kind of learn as you go. And they had an experience, the no-cut event like that, and all of a sudden it was like a bunch of them had Woodland, and when Xander took it over, it was like zero. They felt that the swing we kind of were mentioning earlier in the week, and it came to fruition, unfortunately. But others did really well. Lots of green screens in there. So come join us if you have any questions or comments, or just wanted to come and talk golf or other sports. But you mentioned Xander. We talk about him a lot as this guy that's really good. The stage has really never been too big for him, or the field. He seems to get it done in the bigger events, actually. But he's now has four wins in the last 18 months, Jesse. It's like, is he that under the radar, or are we just not – I guess we talk about him. We're not, like, talking about him, if that makes sense.
I guess my only deal with Xander is I think he's a world-class player. He's just not as consistent as some of your bigger names. He tends to have stretches kind of where he disappears, and it's typically whenever I pick him to do well that week. So Xander, he's just kind of been when he's hot. I mean, he's one of the best golfers in the world, but he's got I think a little bit more of a cold streak in him at this point than some of these top 10 players in the world. Now, it's not to say that he can't remedy that and become a top 10 player in the world. I think he's a great talent. I will say also too that him winning that event over Woodland with JT up there, DJ was there. You know, he finished fourth. Leishman was there. Rory kind of fell back again on Sunday once again. That's a hell of a leaderboard. And if that's how golf is going to be again this year, this is going to be another wonderful year to watch golf and be a part of, you know, the PGA Tour environment, which we create for ourselves, you know, through doing this and on Twitter and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, it's going to be awesome. It was a loaded field at all. Majority of it did not disappoint, as you just said. One other thing we'll talk about kind of quickly is the new rules were implemented starting at this event, and we got to see our good old boy Bryson putt with that flag sticking all over the place. First off on that, did you think it had an impact, or is it just kind of silly? Like, there's one point when I saw Cam Champ do it, he had like a 70-foot putt, and it gave him the, you know, the confidence, I guess, to kind of bang it a little harder. So I see that appeal, but Bryson was doing it from all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, obviously small sample size, but he did lead the field in putting, stretch game putting on average there for the week. He was plus 1.83 on average. So, I mean, he's an innovator in golf, right? I mean, he's the guy who plays with all the clubs that are the same length. He putts fucking weird as shit. I don't care what anybody says. It does not look right to me, but he makes putts. And if he's going to leave the flag stick in, I mean, gives you a little bit more confidence. You can bang it a little bit harder, whatever. You know, it works for him. So, you know, for me, I don't get anybody who really gives a shit whether or not he leaves the flag in or not. Like, who cares? Just let him leave it in if he wants to. If he doesn't, you know, whatever. Same goes for anybody else out there. You know, I mean, why in golf do we have to take the pin out no matter what? Like, so many stupid golf rules. So for me, it's fine. You can't tend the flag. The caddy can't stand there and tend it. It's either got to be in or out when you're on the green. But, you know, it's, I don't know, man.
It was fun to see him do it because he said he was going to do it and everyone was kind of waiting for it and he kicked off right out the gate. Like, it was go. He wasn't joking around. And, you know, many people used to give Bryson crap for a lot of the stuff he did, but I've started to really enjoy the kind of quirkiness of his Bryson. And, yeah, it's embarrassing those events when he can't, like, shake a dude's hand and stuff like that. But the overall golf aspect of Bryson DeChambeau is quite entertaining. And I think it's good for the game because it kind of just opens up the door to so many other things. And this is the kind of theory that, you know, I'm a big baseball guy and you're using StatCast and other technology and you got golf with the shot tracer that we got to see on a few holes this past week, which is awesome. It's just kind of bringing more of what's available into play. And it's like, why don't we use it if we can use it? And Bryson's like the leading innovator, like you said, to do it. So it's kind of cool to see him actually do it and then have it work is what I like the most. Cause I got worried that if it wasn't going to work, then we get screwed type thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reason why he takes so much shit for it is because he comes out and says, well, if it's this type of stick, I'm going to leave it in. If it's this type of stick, I'm going to leave it out. It's like, you know, come on, man. But at least he's reading the rules, unlike somebody else, Dustin Johnson, who admitted he didn't read the rules and then was the first fatality of the rules this year.
Yeah, that was absolutely embarrassing. I'm sitting there watching it, and, you know, you look at all the volunteers, that the spotters and everything, they're all volunteers. And so you can't get really mad at them. They're doing their best. And right. The guy tells them it's his ball. And the new rules, I believe, you can pick up the ball to make sure it's yours. Like, yeah. That's part of the rules.
You can't pick it up, but I think you can move it around just to make sure it is yours, yes.
Yeah, so you could have touched the ball. In the old days, you couldn't. Like, okay, that's my ball. Fine. So leave it to Dustin to punch it out. And as he's walking to go to those ball in the fairway, here's his ball right in the rough. Beautiful shot. Like, when he hit his next ball, it was 15 feet from the hole. Like, he would have had a birdie putt. But no, he hits the wrong ball, gets penalized, and then comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, I never read the rules. It's like, dude, you have a job.
Right.
You're supposed to know your rules to your job.
Right. I mean, at least his caddy needs to know that. Like, you can make sure that that's your ball or whatever, but – that doesn't surprise me with DJ, so.
No, not at all. We'll have to see how more rules come into play here. You know, the dropping from the knees, that was entertaining and some other things. But More of that to come, but let's get to the Sony. This is going to be a fun event to get 144 golfers, T70 or better cut. So we're back to the way it is, and it's one of the better Sony fields we've seen in a long time. Before we get into the player pool, Jesse, give us some past event history.
Yeah, so scores are pretty much going to be high teens, potentially low 20s. They've been there in the low 20s three out of the last 4 years. Last year was the exception. Patton Kizzire was your 2018 champion over James Hahn. And if you guys remember, the Golf Channel crew went on strike last year and during that. And then, of course, they had a playoff at the same time. Dog doesn't like Golf Channel crew going on strike.
Not a fan.
I feel you on that. And so Patton Kizzire extended all that madness and ended up beating James Hahn in the playoff last year. The year before that, Justin Thomas shot 59 the first day and then blitzed the field, shot 27 under for the week, which is, I believe, the course record. Well, at the par 70, as a par 70, it's the record for four rounds. Seven shots over Justin Rose in 2017. Fabian Gomez was your 2016 winner, 20 under over Brant Snedeker in a playoff. Jimmy Walker blitzes field in 15. He also won it in 14. Russell Henley's a past champion here. ZJ's a past champion. Ryan Palmer. I'm not sure if Palmer's in the field this week, but that's pretty much it for kind of in the field or whatever. But scores are going to get pretty low here. Birdies matter.
Yeah, average scores around 20 to 22 winning score, something like that. Kind of like last week. You mentioned the strike from the Golf Channel. They also, this was the, I think it was the Sunday morning where they had the bomb scare and they had to hide in the hotels.
Oh, yes.
So this is the fun one. But yeah, you mentioned scoring is plenty here. We are at the Wailea Country Club in Honolulu, Hawaii, par 70, about less than 7,100 yards. A small, small course, but not a bomb and gouging type course. You got a lot of dog legs, a lot of really narrow fairways. You got to be really precise with your shots. And a lot of the reports are, the fairways, like the hardest fairways on tour, so even if you hit them well, they usually roll out into the intermediate rough, which usually isn't too penal, but it is still different. Like some quotes from Justin Thomas, who's played well here, says it's almost impossible to keep it in the fairway even if you hit it well. So he said he hits his 2-iron a lot and just deals with what he has and comes in with like 100 yards out or something. He says some of the holes, the rough is fine. Some of it you have trouble kind of knowing if it's coming out hot or not. So it's kind of varies from hole to hole, but overall, not too bad as long as you're not just completely out of whack out there. Again, narrow fairways, hard fairways, but very, very scoreable. You got Bermuda greens, just like last week, about 11 on the stint meter. A lot of similarities to last week. Shouldn't be too windy, so that should make scoring even better there. Since the greens are a little smaller, they're about average, they're a little smaller than average. There will be a lot of around the green play coming up, so that could be a stat to keep an eye on as well. But most importantly, lot of shot making instead of bomb and gouging. But with that being said, also, there's still a lot of eagles. The 9th and the 18th hole provide a ton of eagle opportunities in the last couple of years. So something to keep in mind there. But low scoring, make sure you can putt, be good around the green, accurate off the tee, so your approach game should be in play. Those would be the stats I'd be looking at. Jesse, what are the stats you're looking at?
Yeah, a lot of accuracy stats off the tee, greens in regulation, scrambling. But and birdie are better as well. And then there's a lot of course history here, so I do factor that quite a bit, especially since, you know, a lot of these guys, again, I know I've repeated that myself for basically the last, I don't know however many pods we've done here, but these guys are coming off long layoffs, a lot of them anyways. So the like recent form stats are kind of, I mean, you can use them a little bit, but I mean, how much do you really want to weight that? I would rather look at somebody who's come over here and consistently performed well. And weight that a little bit higher than, kind of your recent stats, in my opinion.
Yeah, one thing that a lot of places have mentioned is a lot of the guys that finish really high here, even if it's top 20, top 25, they've played in at least one tournament from December till now. If it doesn't, it could be an indie tour, it could be whatever, they played in something. And a lot of the guys that played last week in the Century and then come to Sony play really, really well. So something to keep in mind is your recent form you kind of mentioned. We'll start bringing the fan share, past six events back when we kind of get more of a build up here. But if you want to look at just DraftKings scores at this event last year, Patton Kizzire won it. He had 136 DraftKings points. James Hahn, Brian Harman, Tom Hoagie, Brian Stewart, Ollie, Woodland, Martin, JT, and Knox. JT was ninth. If you look at that list just in a nutshell, it shows you you don't have to be a bomber, kind of what we've been saying. Yeah. So you definitely can get scoring in. Ollie and Gary Woodland led the field with 24 birdies each. Ollie Schneiderjans, everybody. Just keep that in mind. He also had 10 bogeys, but that's Ollie Schneiderjans for you. And then when you look at Eagles, you know, Knox, Rory Sabatini, Stanley, JT, Hudson Swafford, Brian Harman, and Brian Harkins all had two Eagles last year. So you don't have to be a bomber. I just wanted to reiterate it with you on that one. And if you look at the new FanShare Pro stuff, you can look at a lot of things that we mentioned last week, but there's a course form, red, yellow, and green light icon. And just some of your top guys that I'll mention to you here. Dominic Bazzelli, Brian Gay, Piercy, Answer, Chucky Three Sticks, Wagner, Lee, and Kim are coming in with green and flames. So very, very good. The cool thing I like doing is use course history and course form. Look for guys that both match up green. And some guys like that is Zach Johnson comes in with good course history here and good course form. Matt Kuchar, James Hahn, Charles Howell III. So guys like that. I don't want to give away every single person there, but stuff you can look at when you're looking at the new FanShare sports information. With all that being said, Jesse, let's get into the DraftKings pricing here. Again, 144-man field, so we'll have a little bit more to talk about. We don't have to talk about every guy like we did last week, but 10K and above. JT leads the way at 11-4, Bryson at 11-1, Gary Woodland at 10-8, Leishman at 10-5, and Jordan Spieth, everyone's talking about him already, is 10-3. So a lot of good players up here. The top four played here at the Century. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make a case for all four of those top four guys, Leishman, Woodland, DeChambeau, Thomas. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm not going to have anything to do with Jordan Spieth this week. I mean, he very well could have figured it out, but I'm not paying that steep of a price for him. He's finished 18th and third here the last 2 years, so not terrible, but at 10-3, I would rather go above or below. We'll talk about below here in a minute, but for me, traditionally, like you said before, guys who have played well in Maui come over to, is it Oahu? That's the city, but
Honolulu is an island as well.
No, yeah. Honolulu is the city.
Oh, okay, then I'm maybe it's Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii, so there you go.
Maui was last week, and it's in Honolulu. Anyways, the guys who come over, take that short flight over, like Woodland and JT and DeChambeau, who they all three played pretty well last week, so it's kind of like pick your poison, but Woodland played the best of the bunch. Now, apparently, his grandmother did pass away recently, so something to keep an eye on. There's potential, I guess, maybe that he may have to, go to a funeral. I don't know what that is all about there, but he, it's hard to argue with his form coming in. I think he's by far the best golfer as far as recent form in this field above JT and DeChambeau. So for me, Woodland, JT, then DeChambeau would be how I would rank those guys. Leishman, I don't know. It's just hard for me to pay 10-5 for him. If I'm picking, that's what I would do. Woodland also has pretty good course history here. So,
yeah, when I'm looking at it's chalky, I know, but I absolutely love Justin Thomas right now at 11-4. Finished third last week, had a really good weekend. T14, first T6 in his last three out of four here. And last week he was best or close to the top in tee to green and one of the worst putters out there. He's leaving strokes all over the course. He wasn't Bubba Watson bad, but he was not putting well. And if he can fix that on a course, he does very, very well. I like JT quite a bit this week. Outside of that, you mentioned Gary Woodland. His grandma, I believe, was Saturday night passed away. Like he found out Sunday morning or maybe late Saturday. So you will see how that all goes. Second last week, as you said, his last two events here, T7, T6, and he wanted to go farther, T13 and T3. So there is a lot to like there with course history. He putted lights out last week, but his around the green game was outstanding. So a lot to like there as well. And then Leishman, who was my pick to win last week, he finished very well for me. I was happy with the T4, and he came in great form when he kept producing. He's made 9 out of 9 cuts here. So I don't hate him for cash games per se, if you want to save some cash on the guys up top. But I'm with you. If I'm paying up, it's Woodland, it's JT. I think Woodland's going to be very, very popular, saving $600 on Justin Thomas. But I'm going with Justin Thomas if I had to pick just one. And it feels weird leaving Bryson out here, but I'm just going to I'm going to go to JT this week. That'll be my guy.
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult to fit two of them in as well. So you kind of got to pick your poison there and or just run three lines with, you know, all three of, you know, three separate lines, basically.
Yeah, totally agree. Now let's get in the 9K range. We got our guy Cam Champ, who had a rough weekend, but still played really, really well at $9,900. Pat Reed, apparently golfed last week, didn't really see it, $9,600. Cam Smith at 94, Hideki 93, Emiliano Grillo is back at $9,200, Paul Casey at 91, and the Kiz, $9,000. Interesting 9K range here. Jesse, what are you looking at?
Yeah, it is interesting is a good way to put it, I think. I don't know. Like, for me, it's hard for me not to play Hideki at 9,300 with all the guys around him now. He played here last year, finished 27th, and before that he was miscut. So four prior years he missed the cut, but 2017 was the last time he played here, finished 27th, didn't play here last year. Coming off a 30th, 18th, 4th, I just think that price to me is low, comparatively speaking, to the guys around him. Like, I would much rather have him over Cam Smith and Pat Reed and probably Jordan Spieth. Cam Champ, obviously, $9,900. At this point, I guess he's earned it. Putter was really on last week. The problem is the rest of his game wasn't that great. So can he turn it around in a week on a golf course where you have to ball strike it? You know, so that's kind of the question you got to ask yourself with him. I'm not a huge fan. I can't not play Paul Casey at 9,100. I think Grillo is fine too at 9,200. I think he's a little bit overpriced there, but either way, I don't mind him. Paul Casey, I'll definitely be on. So for me, in this range, now that I look at Paul Casey, I remember I went one and done with him, I think, in 2017, and this was like his only missed cut of the year. Hideki and Paul Casey for me, mostly here. I think Champ's an okay GPP play. Just kind of depending. One thing I would watch with Champ is he generating a lot of buzz out there, you know, through fan share. If his projected ownership is high, I probably will lay off of him because I do want to see if he can just fix the ball striking. Obviously, he can putt, and putting is a huge factor around here. But obviously, if it takes more shots to get to the hole, the putting doesn't matter. So.
For sure. And it's his first time here, and first timers usually it takes them a little while. Not saying they won't make the cut, but they take some bumps and bruises along the way. Like when I mentioned earlier about, you know, not hitting certain clubs and letting stuff roll out the way they do, you need to learn it a lot. And that's what a lot of these guys have said their first years here. And we look at their course history, first years and then everything after, you can see market improvements when they come and play here after the first time. When it comes to Cam Champ, I don't know if you noticed a ton, Jesse, but it was really entertaining how many Cam Champ haters are out there right now. It really, really surprised me when I wanted to put my troll hat on because sometimes I like to do it, but I like to do it in fun. Not everybody can take it in fun. The same people that are hating on Cam Champ had picked Norman Jeong to win every freaking week. So I was really getting curious on how they decide who they can. Maybe they're hipsters, I guess. I don't know. But it was weird.
I don't know. I think some people just like to buck the trend or whatever. He's the hot new golfer on tour, and he's just come in and already won. And by the way, did you see where he's not even leading the tour in driving distance now?
Really?
Who is? You know who's leading it? Brendan Steele.
Oh, God. Mr. Safeway.
How weird is that? Yeah.
That is really, really weird. But it also goes to show you that Champ's not just a bomber. Like everybody's
No, he's not. I mean, he's got a good all-around game. And obviously, if you can putt, you know, the putting aspect, if you can keep that pretty consistent, he'll figure out the ball striking. Will it be this week? I don't know. That's the question.
Yeah, and the correlation you're going to hear a lot this week is when he won Sanderson, it's a small course like this. So it wasn't a bomb and gouge type deal. But it's also a much different field. This is actually a pretty decent field here. Yeah, I do like him at 99. I do like him at 99. I think for GPPs, he's very enticing because he can go low anytime you need to.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, is it going to work for four rounds? That's the question. But I don't mind him at $9,900. I think he's an interesting GPP play. When I made my list of players I like this week, it's kind of like I want to go JT or Woodland. And then I almost want to go down to like 8K. I almost want to skip 9K altogether, which is weird because usually I skip the top and start in the 9K. But I'm looking at Champ. I don't mind Casey at all. But the guy, I think, if I want to get really different here, is Emiliano Grillo. Coming in pretty decent form from when he last finished T8, T15, T14. He played a little over there on the Euro Tour before he took his break, so he's not completely ice cold. But he's made 2 of 2 cuts here. Not the greatest of finishes, but still. The guy keeps getting better and better, and I think he's one of the more accurate players on tour. So I don't mind him. I think in this 9K range, he might kind of get overlooked. So Grillo would be my guy up here if I do go up here, $9,200. All right, let's go to the 8K range where it's going to be a fun one. We got CH3 at 89. We start our course history narrative. Abraham Answer at 88, Stanley at 87, ZJ, Kuchar, Bubba Watson, who literally had, like, I didn't check by the end of Sunday, Jesse, but early Sunday, a minus 12 plus strokes gained putting. Adam Scott, Brant Snedeker, who can play in the wind, everybody. Russell Knox, Siwoo Kim, and Russell Henley. So a very interesting grouping here at 8K, but a lot, like, really you can like here. What do you like?
Yeah, Bubba lost on average almost 3 shots around last week.
That's bad.
Yeah, he was last in the field in putting.
And he played well on Sunday. Would he go 4 or 5 under on Sunday?
He actually started decent too. I was kind of surprised to see him fall back, and he's had some decent finishes over there. So you know how Bubba is; he likes his certain courses. So I was.
Well, let's have fun with Bubba real quick. Did you hear he went and had LASIK surgery? He's never had glasses in his life.
No.
Yeah, that story came out like Wednesday. It was in December. He went and had LASIK surgery, and he's never had glasses or anything. He just went to improve his vision.
So go from like 2020 to like 2015?
I don't know the exact number, but I started laughing because like, how Bubba is that just to go say, screw it, I'm going to have LASIK surgery to make my eyes even better.
I'll have to ask my dad about that. He's an eye doctor. So, So, I mean, you know, Bubba, I don't know so much about him. He's not had a whole heck of a lot of success here either. I mean, he hasn't played here since 2010. He finished 46th, 2009, missed cut, 2008, 50th. So I'll pass on him. Just go ahead and put that out there. But the guys that I do like Charles Howell quite a bit. You already said course history narrative, 32nd, 8th, 13th, 26th, 8th. Third, second, are as far as finishes here over the last, you know, whatever, 7 years or whatever. So, do like him quite a bit. He did finish middle of the pack last week. So I do like Charles Howell. I think Abraham Answer is an interesting GPP play. I do think a lot of people will look at, if they do look at course history, missed cut last year, like you said, guys tend to do a little bit better on their second go around here. This will be the second go around for him. He's coming off a 21st at Mayakoba, 4th at the Shriners. So he does have 2 top 5s in his last 4 starts. I don't know if he will go under the radar, but I do like him at 8,800, especially in large field GPPs. I think Kuchar and Zach Johnson are okay. Zach Johnson's a previous winner here. Adam Scott at 8,300 seems like another misprice to me as well. I know he fell off a tad like during the fall swing, because he was red hot at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see if he can bounce back, but I'm willing to take a chance here and watch him miss 3-footers all day long at $8,300.
Yeah, no, Scott was one that surprised me, but I'll start from the top with me. When it comes to Chucky Three Sticks, he's made 17 of 17 cuts here, 9 top 10 finishes. So, like you said, course history earlier, he's one of many that has very, very good odds here to hopefully at least make it to the weekend. So CH3 at $8,900. I'm afraid that's going to become a popular narrative, something to keep an eye on. But for cash games, big fan of CH3 this week. I do like the answer call quite a bit. We were on him a lot last year, especially in kind of smaller fields. But this kid's going to be really, really good. Missed cut, like you said, last time out. But he finished the season very, very strong. Won over on the, I think it was Euro Tour where he got the first place finish, or Mexican Tour or whatever. He made a guest appearance somewhere, did very, very well. And then Kyle Stanley, we talk about ball striking courses. Kyle Stanley stands out in a big, big way for me. He's made 6 of 6 cuts here, including a T10 last year. Last 3 events here, T10, T36, T13. Finished the season on a strong way. Played at the QBE shootout in December, so he's not like completely rusty. So Stanley at $8,700, I like quite a bit as well. You got ZJ at 86, always kind of makes a good ball striking course, make the cut type guy. So I have no problems with him at all. I agree. Your Adam Scott take at $8,300. That stood out to me big time when I first saw it. He's made 5 of 7 cuts here, 2 top 10s, coming off a T18 and a T10 in his last 2 regular events on tour. So Adam Scott, it's very interesting. If his putter gets going, he's going to go very low here and they're going to get a lot of value. But you hit on it. His putter can be, you know, suspect at times. But if he's putting well, he could go super, super low. The only other guy I will mention here, and it really does feel weird to mention him, but Siwoo Kim is $8,000. And he's got two of two made cuts here, including a fourth. He's coming in pretty decent form. He's a ball-striking kind of shot narrative type guy. It's interesting at $8,000 is all I'll say. I'm not in love with it, but GPP-wise, Siwoo at $8,000. And if people have listened to this podcast enough, this might be the first time I've ever recommended Siwoo Kim. So just keep that in mind that he does kind of fit a narrative, and it goes back to what I said earlier. I kind of want to go from the top down to the eights and sevens. Siwoo makes that very possible, and we know he's a guy that can, you know, top 15, top 10 it and get you some serious points at $8,000.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He's a GPP play only. I mean, when he's on, he can be really, really good. But when he's off, you know, he's missing the cut. So
not pretty at all. Nope. All right, let's go into the 7K range. We'll do 7,500 and above first. Jesse got Harmon, Poulter, got a price bump. I still don't think it's high enough. Hadwin, Flat Bill Perez, Keegan Bradley somehow down here at 77. You got Scott Piercy, Reavie, Kirk, Tway, Sungjae, Fratelli. And that's it from 75 and above, Jesse. Who you liking here?
You forgot Kevin Tway. Did you say Tway?
I might have. I don't know.
I don't know if you did either. I feel like there's some decent value down here. Now, I will say that I think that this is good pricing by DraftKings. There's nothing that stands out that is just like, what in the absolute fuck are you guys doing? Like there has been in the past. You know, I mean, if you listen to us, I bitch about pricing all the time. I think that we have finally bitched them into fixing it a little bit. Maybe we'll see how it goes along here. But Brian Harmon at $7,900 intrigues me. Reason I feel like he's a better player than 7,900. He's not really got the current form of a better player, although he hasn't missed a cut since the Open Championship in July. And he has good course history here. He finished fourth here last year, 20th the year before, 13th, 32nd. He's got one missed cut in his last seven starts here. So he's got good course history. I like him quite a bit at 7,900. I don't say that usually about Brian Harmon. Poulter, I think, is playable at 78. Reavie at 76 is very interesting. Just some of the numbers that I've looked at course history-wise, kind of breaking them down a little bit. He stands out and he's hit the ball well around here. His finishes aren't spectacular, but he did finish 18th here last year and 8th the year before. And when if he gets going, he could be, you know, another top 10 guy at 7,600 very, very easily. Sungjae M, another guy like it, similar to Answer. Now this is his first time around here, so GPP only, but I feel like he's kind of got the ability to maybe buck that trend. And then last but not least, I think Kevin Tway, you know, I mean, coming off, he had a really strong start at the, Tournament Champions last week, fell off a little bit there toward the weekend, but, you know, he's interesting at 7,500. I don't know how popular he will be, but, I don't mind him at 7,500.
Yeah. Don't mind it at all. I'm going to kick it off with the defending champion, Kazire. Do I think he's going to win again? No. But coming in great form. I liked him last week at $6,200, and he played great top T8. Had a hole in one, striking it really well out there. So, and he played well at the QBE also. I think he won there, or he finished high there. So I like a lot with Kazire coming in at $7,900. So I'm going to keep an eye on there. Our boy Poulter, your boy Poulter, I adopted him with you, Poulter. Talking about good form, yes, he's fitting it very well at $7,800. Don't hate that at all. Paddy Perez is interesting because he's had the layoff, which kind of concerns me. But if you want to go course history, 14 of 16 made cuts here with four top tens. So he could be one of those guys that, you know, might not need to be super active. It's a course he loves. He loves hitting that three wood, so he doesn't have to hit the driver everywhere. Definitely a guy coming out there at 7,700. A couple other guys you didn't mention. Interesting, like Keegan Bradley, he's making cuts left and right. So if you're playing a cash game at 77, I don't hate it, which sounds weird to say about Keegan Bradley. If you want to talk about a birdie-making machine, he came through over the weekend, but he was a value last week. He's 76 this week. It's Scott Piercy, a guy that's also he flat out has said, I love this golf course. Like, he loves playing here. He's made four straight cuts here, including the second T25 or better in three of those four events. He's made 7 out of 10 cuts here overall, and he's coming in with a T19, a T6, a T10, and a T5 in his last four events. So Piercy can take advantage of scoring courses, and this is one he likes quite a bit. So Piercy at 76, I like. I like your Chez call at 76. He's also a guy that, you know, ball striking wise plays really well here. You mentioned course history already. And the last guy I got at 7,500 and above is Kevin Tway. You know, he's 1-for-3 on made cuts here, making his most recent T69, but coming in great form. Like you said, played well last week. He does like the wind for us. So if for some reason the wind kicks up, he'll be good to go. Otherwise, 7,500 bucks hopefully runs into a few for you. But it's a region I do like. I really like Kazir. I think Piercy's a GPP play. And the other guys, you can kind of mix and match. Poulter should be pretty popular, actually. So just keep an eye on that. All right, 7,400 and above. Jesse, I'm not going to read them all off, so give me something you're liking here.
Yeah, I'll start with Stricker at 7,300. He's got good course history, or decent course history here anyways. Three top 10.
Great course history. Six three, top 10s.
Does he have six top 10s? Well, I'm just looking.
Yeah, 13 of 14 cuts.
There you go. So he's played well. He is coming off a win on the Champions Tour back in September. He's taking some time off. But at 7,300, I think he's an okay guy down low here if you're kind of down in this area. Another guy who kind of fits along a little bit with that same type of deal as Stugot Sink, 7,300. I think these prices are right for these two guys because they are, at this point, like they have to kind of use walkers to get around the golf course. They're getting old, man. Both these guys are. I love them both to death, though, because they're consistent good golfers on the PGA Tour. You don't stick around the PGA Tour this long unless you're a really good golfer. So those two, Sam Ryder at 7,200 also, I think he's okay. This would be his second go-around here too. You know, I was a big fan of him toward the end of last year. So at 7,200, I'll take a shot with him. One guy that two guys that I'm really intrigued with down low. One is Jerry Kelly. He's played well here in the past. 14th here last year, missed cut 2017, 9th, 6th, 3rd. Obviously he's gone mostly Champions Tour now. He hasn't made a start on the PGA Tour since February of last year. But he's just a guy who down low here, if you're kind of looking for a super low-owned GPP play, he's got good course history. I think he's okay. Brian Stewart is another guy. He's actually got the decent – well, I was going to say decent form. That's totally incorrect. Finished 4th here last year, 45th. Another guy who just kind of showed up on some models that I do on just course stats. So Brian Stewart's an okay play at 7,100. I'd play Kelly over him, especially if you're in cash games and you're looking right here. But and then Hudson Swafford, last but not least for me, 7,000. Kind of came on a little bit toward the end of last year. Three straight made cuts here, so I think he's okay.
Yeah, he made that fan share list you mentioned earlier, so definitely playing well at this course. For me, a GPP play I like. I used him a lot towards the end of last year, but he's only made 2 of 6 cuts here, coming off a second-place finish and a couple top 10s recently on the tour. Danny Lee at 7,400 bucks could be he's an all-or-nothing type guy. When he's striking it well, he's playing really well, and 7,400 could be quite a discount. A couple other guys I like a little more consistently. You mentioned some really good GPP guys in Ryder and Stewart and those guys, like Andrew Putnam, coming off a T14 last week, made the cut here last year, coming in really, really good form recently. Stugot, you mentioned him. I love my Stewie Sink. This guy's amazing. He's made 10 of 15 cuts, including 2 top 10s. He's made 5 straight cuts here at this event with a T20 in that mix. So Stugot's there. I love the Stricker call at 7,300 bucks. You talk course history. There you go. This one's for all the listeners out there. I even got some mentioned in our season preview. And when we mentioned we're back last week, they asked if I was going to give more Brian Gay takes, but I will right now because he's coming in. He's made at least five straight cuts. And then here, 15 of 18 cuts, made 3 top 10s. So ball strike extraordinaire that I like quite a bit here with Gay at 7,300 bucks. And then the last guy I will mention down here, this is why I think I can make go up top and then play the 8s and 7Ks and feel okay about life. Joel Dahman. He played here last year. He got T73. That's his first time here. We've seen him improve throughout the year last year. I think seeing this course once and coming back will treat him very, very well. So dominant 72 is another guy I like here. But the 75 and below, you know, Stugot and Stricker, pretty quote-unquote safe guys. Putnam, Gay, Dahman, a little more upside he plays for me, but I like them all quite a bit. All right, Jesse, 6K and below is not pretty by any means. I'm not going to read them all off. We got some interesting names down here, but some we can pick on. So what do you like down here?
Yeah, not a whole lot, man. This is it's one of those regions where you're just kind of like, pick your poison here. A couple guys, I will mention my boy Josh Teeter again. Him and Lee, who was on the pod, made the trip to Hawaii. So I wish them good luck this week. Moving kind of toward the top, I think Keith Mitchell, he finished 25th here last year at $6,900. You could do a lot worse. He has made five straight cuts on tour. So I think he's okay. He could be a better player than the $6,900 player. The potential I feel like is there, especially with his tee to green game. It's just a matter of, can he put it all together and make some putts. Sam Saunders is interesting at 6,800. He WD'd his last tournament, which was Mayakoba, after shooting 75. So I'm not really sure what's going on with him, but, I also feel like he's a better golfer than, just kind of the potential's there. And then Nick Taylor at 6,700, missed the cut last time out here, which is in 2017, but he did make two cuts in a row before that. And he's coming off a ninth over in Australia, and he's had some okay finishes here recently. So those would be kind of my three down here.
Yeah, there's only three I wrote down for now. Something might open up, but I don't want to be down here if I can avoid it. One would be Harkins at $6,600, mentioned earlier on the fan share. Played pretty well here last year when it came to birdies, eagles, and his overall drafting and scoring. Had a T25 here last year in his first appearance here, which says quite a bit. We knew we played pretty well on the West Coast early on last year, had a couple of hit and misses throughout the rest of the year, but he played well out here. So Harkins at 65 is another guy to go, or 66 is a guy to take a look at. Another guy that showed up on the fan share, two eagles last year, finished T32 here last year, made three out of four cuts here, including a T6, and overall has made 14 out of 20 cuts here with three top tens. Rory Sabatini, $6,500. And this is a guy that can be very tilting at times, but if he can get through the weekend, he has the ability to put some birdies on the board there. So I don't hate him at 65. And then the only other one I will mention here is Bozzelli at $6,400, T39 in his first appearance here last year, coming off of three made cuts on the tour. Nothing too sexy, but at $6,400, a little more stability on the lower end. But I like Harkins. I like Sabatini. If I need to come down here, maybe something else will open up, as tends to do. All right, that wraps up the pricing, price point, pick by pick, all that fun stuff. We're going to mix it up here. Instead of going over like our cores and some things, we're going to give you some boomer bust GPP type plays, and then like our top three cash game plays. We'll go with our bust, and then we'll our picks to win. So, Jesse, kick it off. Give me, and there's always going to be more, but you guys ask, what's a boomer bust type guy that could go horribly wrong or could help you win a GPP? What are three guys you're looking at here, Jesse?
I think one guy in particular is Sung J.M. We've talked about him a lot, especially in that fall swing. And there's a chance that he could go overlooked this week, not having any course history and kind of having just an okay – nothing special fall swing. So Sung J.M. would be on that list for me. And then other than that, if you're like super low, Keith Mitchell would be a boomer bust guy if you're down there below 7,000. And then, I'm just kind of digging on some Brian Harman this week. I think that price is off. So, he's led me astray before, so we'll see. But he would be my third pick there.
All right, a couple that I like, boomer bust, maybe not bust is the right word, but kind of disappointment would be Adam Scott, because at his price point, he can win the whole thing, and it wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, he can miss a cut. So I think he's got the boom ability. Bust maybe wouldn't be as surprising. Jamie Lovemark is a guy that is boomer bust. He's made two out of five cuts here, but his two makes, T4 and T7. So if he –
the definition of boomer bust, right?
Yeah. If he is in contention, Jamie Lovemark is the guy. Slower greens might help a bad putter out, just throwing it out there. So yeah. Lovemark is intriguing at his cheap price point as well. And then the only other one, it's really because we didn't mention him. I usually forget to mention the guy, and he's actually really, really good. He's priced up in the 9K areas. He's always in the 9Ks or high 8s. He's made 3 of 3 cuts here. He's gone T18, T27, T81. As you can see, he's improved each time out here. And he's coming off a win in his native country in Australia. Cam Smith is a guy that could go extremely overlooked and help you win a GPP as well. So those are the three guys I'm looking at.
Yeah, that price point for him is he's sandwiched in between a bunch of guys there. Probably will garner a lot of ownership. So he's, I think, a decent GPP pivot there.
All right, let's go cash. I was telling Jesse before, and I tweeted it out, just looking at the price, and you can make some more comfortable cash games than normal. Nothing's ever comfortable in the world of PGA Tour golf, but that 7 and 8K range is pretty, pretty nice. So give me like, you know, two or three cash game guys you're really looking at this week, even though I know you don't play a lot of cash.
Well, so, you know, the reason I quit playing cash a lot is because of the terrible pricing by DraftKings. It made it a whole lot less desirable to play cash games because there were like three obvious plays just about every week. So you're playing pretty much 3v3 versus everybody else. And it's it just cuts down on the fun, but also cuts down kind of on a little bit of the edge. I think this pricing this week is more traditional. I've been playing – this really marks the fourth year that I mean, consistently, week in, week out, playing PGA DFS. And if you talk to some of the guys who played it since the beginning, you know, the pricing used to be really sharp, and it used to be fun to play cash because, you know, getting four or five or six, you weren't completely out of it, you know. Last year, you had to have six of six. So I'll probably go back this year. I should, because playing GPPs only is it's rough. You know that just as well as I do. I mean, we play a lot of GPPs, but, I mean, when it goes bad, it goes bad. And there's a lot of nights when if I would have played cash, I could have saved some, you know, quite a bit of money. So with that being said, I think Stricker's a cash game play, Reavy, and then also Charles Howell for me this week.
I like all three of those, and all the points you made were very true. I think I started about 3 years ago, so year after you. But even when I started, cash was the way to go. And in PGA, it was like you, if you knew a little bit about it or you listened to a couple shows here and there, you could make money weekly playing cash games on PGA. Like it was, I'm not saying it was easy because that's not right, but it was a combination of the pricing got worse and the talent pool's gotten sharper. Like it really has. There's a lot out there to take a look at, but when I looked at this, I was like, okay, if this is what we see week in, week out, I'm going to definitely be tipping my toes back in that cash game, like more frequently. And for me, CH3, I hope I'm not biting on this because I'm with you and just course history. Because all you want are the guys to make the cuts here. I don't need the big scores. CH3 stands out. Love me some Kyle Stanley. Love some Poulter. You mentioned Stricker could be a nice one. But for me, it's CH3, Stanley, and Poulter. If I'm starting a cash lineup, I'm right there in the middle of the pack. I try to sprinkle in maybe a Justin Thomas on the top, take a guy in the mid-sevens or something that I'm comfortable with, and your lineup's almost done. That's kind of where I'm looking. And you can make that work.
When I played it every week, my goal was simply to make a 6 out of 6 team. You know, so it was most of the time it was balanced. The pricing got soft. Pretty much everybody was going up top, stars and scrubs, and it made it a whole lot harder to play cash games. No matter what you do, though, always put your cash game and line up in a GPP.
Yes. Glad you said that.
You never know.
Even if it's the quarter, I don't care. Throw it in something.
Put it in something because, you know, you will hate yourself on Sunday if you're sitting first place in a double up and, you know, you're winning the same as the guy who's in 50th, you know, so just don't forget that.
Well, especially as balanced as the tour is becoming, where any guy can win way more frequently than before, nothing would shock you.
No.
All right, let's go. Who's your top bust not named Jordan Spieth?
Not named Jordan Spieth, man. So last week it was Rory for me, right? I think it was Rory. Was it Rory for both of us?
I think so.
Didn't play out very well. I'll go with Patrick Reed. It's just easy. That's the next easiest one. I can't do Patrick Reed. He was not good last week. So,
yeah, I just looked back. I had Rory last week, so that definitely.
I'm pretty sure I had Rory too. Yeah. We look stupid on that. But
yeah, that happens to me a lot. But you know, I'm looking at my bookie right now. 2, 4, 6. Patrick Reed is the sixth highest priced guy to win at 28 to 1.
Yeah, thank you.
My guy is at 28 to 1. Also, Hideki Matsuyama. And I know you like him a little bit. I can never get Matsuyama right. So as long as he's a favored type guy, I'm going to keep passing on that for now. But what stood out to me between Reed and Matsuyama is Cam Smith at 28-1 also. So he's going to get overlooked this week. He really is.
It's a good chance. I mean, I think he's a decent GPP pivot, but it just kind of depends. You know, that's one of the guys that I would really pay attention to on Fincher as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a shameless plug here. If you are looking for a book online, mybookie.com, use promo code BENCH. You get 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. So go check that out. I don't even know the guys, but it's an interesting deal that people have asked me to go look into. So 50% off your first deposit, up to $1,000. Use promo code benched at mybookie.ag.
Not 50% off, right? You get a 50% bonus, right?
Deposit bonus, yes. Gotcha. 50% deposit bonus.
You're used to saying off because you're doing subs, you know, whatever subs for other sites, like, you know, what? Yeah. So anyway,
yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So 50% deposit bonus, up to $1,000 bonus at mybookie.ag, promo code benched. And with that being said, I'll use their pricing as we pick our winners. Jesse, who do you have winning this thing?
Man, you know, if I'm going to go up top, it's going to be Woodland. I think he's got the form coming in. Hard to 14, argue with him.
14-1.
Yeah. And I would never bet that, but I think on DraftKings, he's a fine play. You know, if you want somebody down low, who's probably got a much better price, I mean, I would look at somebody like Answer.
Abraham Answer's 35-1. I can dig it. I like it.
See, that's even a little bit short on him, man. I don't know. I'd have to be closer to 50 on him to actually bet that.
And see, what's crazy is he's 8,800 on DraftKings. Griot's 92, and they're 33-1, 35-1. Kevin Kisner's 33-1. So the Kis is up there. So DraftKings pricing wise, quite the difference.
I'm surprised by Kisner's price there too. It's at 9,000. I mean,
yeah. But. And then my kind of longer shot, I think JT, that's who I think is going to win it, but he's 7-1. So I'm not going there. If you need a little longer shot, I think. I might regret this, but Adam Scott at 45-1 has a little bit of appeal to me. Really does.
Yeah, that's not a bad price on him at all. Like, I would much rather bet him than Answer. I mean, he's a proven winner.
Yep. So we'll check that out, see how it goes. And we'll recap that next week to tell you how wrong we were. If not, get your one and done in. Like, I'll give my picks away because we do the write-up every week on it. I'm picking JT this week. I'm not going to get cute with it. I'm taking the guy at top. Make it happen. You don't have to give yours away, Jesse. You can save it for the write-up or whatever you want to do. It could be a second one for the write-up. But
no, I haven't even gotten there yet. I did add two more last night because that pool is absolutely huge, massive. So I've got three in there. So first time I've ever done multiple in the same pool, this ought to be interesting to see how far down I can finish.
Something tells me I'll be doing multiple next year. It's like last year is my first year in one and done. I got in this year thinking I have a different mindset. Next year I'll be like, okay, let's, you know, diversify. I can already see where this is going. This is how it happened. But it is a ton of fun. We mentioned before how you play DraftKings each week. It keeps you entertained and into the tour and everything. When one and done does a ton with that as well. Other than that, Jesse, would you like to let everybody know what's going on with the Junkies League and which contest to enter?
Yeah, if you're in Junkies this week, just pick the one with the most people in it. Kevin has an issue sometimes creating two on accident. I don't know how it happens, but either way, just get the biggest one. And also, man, you know, if you guys want to hop into Slack chat, hit me or Bubba up at BDintric at DFS Golf Gods. My DMs are open. I can just need an email address. I'll send you an invite over. He will do the same. And a lot of bullshitting going on in there. You know, if you want something to keep entertained, bounce ideas off of, the guys are active. So I'm going to try to be more active in there moving forward too.
Yeah, it's fun because, you know, it's not like we're never around. It's if there's no questions being asked, we're not going to sit there and just like talk to each other. We text each other for that.
Right.
It's like, but, you know, it's gotten more active. And I don't play Showdown, but there's guys in there talking Showdown strategy every morning.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to just –
I was really surprised, but that was really cool to watch and see. So, I mean, we are degenerates, so these guys fit in there, and I'm really glad they're there.
Yep. So, yeah. So go check it out. Just ask us. It's available for everybody. It's free. Not going to be charged. But that'll wrap us up this week. Go check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BDAntrick, and the podcast is at Always Press DFS. If you give us a rating review on iTunes, we'd much appreciate it. It would help us out quite a bit. With that being said, good luck this week. This was your 2019 Sony Open DraftKings preview. Catch you guys later.